This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
All right, so you all heard it, right? It wasn't just me. Somewhere in the last hour, Bart Scott went from Bart Scott to Michael Irvin at the very end. You heard the cadence in his voice. Like, you heard him.
Deacon do wrong.
You definitely did Deacon do
don't
wrong.
Don't you don't know good. Don't you know no good.
Barton Hahn presented by Progressive Insurance. We're coming to you live, at least I am. Seaport brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. Bart is coming to you from somewhere, brought to you by something other than Patron.
Well, I was drinking till Patron, so I couldn't drive.
Is that why? Is that your excuse?
Meh.
I don't think so. Well, it would explain your takes today. I'll leave it at that. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776.
Did the Knicks play last night?
Who?
The Jets?
I don't even want to talk about that. We got Monica McNutt coming up in a little bit here. We'll talk with her about the NBA stuff, including that. Yo.
Jacques Vaughn looking like Spider-Verse.
All they did was look like a team that can function when you take away dysfunction, right? That's what they look like.
You got the Papa Smurf beard.
He looked like Lubby Smith. He did. He had some good lines though about him. I'm sure I wasn't my wife's first choice too, but that's all right. We've been together for 20 years. Like he had some good lines. I'll give him that. But any Knicks fan asking me what happened last night, I'm going to tell him what happened is they are who we thought they were. Like, that's what I've been trying to tell you about this roster. It is the definition of mediocre. Like, that's what they are.
Undefeated. Ben Simmons undefeated.
And you are not, you don't have enough talent to try to win on talent alone. And they learned that the hard way last night. But like I said, digress, because Monica McNutt will join us in 10 minutes and we'll get into some NBA stuff. But Bart, we've got this, you know, fun conversation going on right now with you that you started this morning on Get Up. For those who might not have heard it just yet, this was from Get Up this morning, a conversation about Jalen Hurts, about Dak Prescott, and just about where everybody ranks right now among quarterbacks in the NFL.
Is Dak Prescott one of the best quarterbacks in the league?
Jalen Hurts has passed him.
Oh, get out of here. At this moment, you're ready to say
that Jalen Hurts is a better runner, and he's more accurate right now, and he has better weapons on the outside. Jalen Hurts has passed Dak Prescott
and
as far as the ranking as the quarterback.
No injuries.
Dak is going to come back from the thumb or whatever. You're prepared to say it right now, into a season, that at this point, Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott.
Yes.
We're comfortable saying that.
I'm comfortable saying that.
Look.
The numbers show. The numbers don't lie.
What making it seem like Dak like a scrub or something.
No.
He's not top 10.
He's not top 10.
No.
Dak Prescott is not one of the top 10 quarterbacks.
No, he isn't.
The guy who earned his contract in Dallas and who led the league in scoring last year.
I don't care about the money. He's not top 10.
Oh, get out of here.
I mean, you got Greeny yelling at you. I mean, that's something. Chris Canty had joined us at the very beginning of the show because he had to jump in and get into this debate. But before he was here, he was filling in on Greeny's show, and he had this to say.
You know, I'd like to hear Bart's list that he's not putting him at the top 10.
Bart can't come up with the list, Bubba. That's the point. He just says
he
stuff.
Just
it's absolutely ridiculous. But I agree with him on the point about Jalen Hurts.
So he agrees with you that Jalen Hurts has done enough this year to be considered somebody that should be in the top 10. But everybody, at least on this side of the table, disagrees with you when it comes to Dak Prescott's place outside of the top 10. And even Rob Ninkovich, who was here a few minutes ago, thought the same thing. He's like, he might be 8 or 9, maybe even 10, but it's hard to put him outside the top 10. Especially when last year they had the best offense in the league.
Then we had a draft, right? What happened?
Well, I screwed up. That's what happened.
Oh, okay.
I had you set up. Until I realized that I made a tactical error.
Do you realize I had you set up for a triple jump?
No, I made a tactical error. Because I went wild card in one of my picks taking Deshaun because I wanted to get him. I wanted to remove all of the ones that I thought you would go to with the last pick because I set you up to have the last pick. And I got too ahead of myself.
What happened was.
Exactly. I screwed up. My bad. But we've got callers at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We all want to sound off on this. So we got more news from Barton Hahn Nation. We got Brian in North Carolina hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call online. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I listen to you guys every day. I'm a lifelong Bears fan, 35 years. I just want to say Justin Fields.
Yep.
Trade him away, please. I think he's the most overrated quarterback in the league right now.
Whoa.
I've been in Carolina for the last 15 years. He's Cam Newton 2.0.
No.
He has all Cam Newton was an
MVP.
In the world.
Brian, Cam Newton was
all
an MVP.
In the world.
What's a Super Bowl?
But when you watch him on the sidelines after a bad drive and a bad moment, he's there with his head down. He's not looking at the tablet.
No.
He doesn't talk to his teammates.
No,
all those
breathes.
Intangibles, all that leadership stuff is not there.
Brian, Cam Newton was an MVP, and he led his team to the Super Bowl. If that's what he becomes for the Bears, you wouldn't take that?
That would be the best quarterback in y'all history. Who
damn,
you got, Kyle Orton?
Sid Luckman.
Jim McMahon?
But still, if you're I would love to have a quarterback that you would compare to Cam Newton. If you want to make the comparison and say it's a negative, it's that it won't be a long career because Cam broke down. But to say all he is Cam Newton. Cam Newton was an MVP.
And not a leader. The dude convinced the Big Ten to get football back.
Right.
He didn't just lead Ohio State. He led the conference to bring football back.
You know what? It happened. Today it happened. Someone had a worse take than Bart Scott about quarterbacks. It happened today. James in Washington. What's up, James?
Hey, good morning, you guys. Thanks for taking my call. Bart, I love you. I love you to death. Alan, I love you guys. I listen to you every morning. Bart, you are wrong on this one.
Wrong.
I'm a Cowboys fan, but I'm an objective Cowboys fan.
So give
Check
me your 10.
Out,
so give me your 10 then. You taking him before Justin
my
Herbert?
My turn? Well, okay, listen. What I want to say is this. He's probably at 10 or 9, but he's definitely not out of the top 10. Okay, I'm not going to say, I agree with you. Let him to the Kirk Cousins thing.
He's in a world, in my opinion, and I'll let you finish. He's in a world kind of muddled up with Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, and probably Kyler Murray. He's in that bunch.
Wait. Dak Prescott is in the same company as Ryan Tannehill?
And Jimmy G.
A guy that they can't wait to move on from in Tennessee.
I disagree, Bart. Mm. Only because, I'll put it this way, with your list, like I said, your list, you had me until you got to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Okay? After Kirk Cousins, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about this year, Deshaun Watson hasn't played a game yet.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Kyler Murray is a little brat that got his money, that got his way.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. And then my point is, as far as leadership goes, listen, he is, to me, this is me, he's got to be between 8 and 10. That's just me.
I mean, James, I don't disagree with you because I'm not trying to put him in the top 5, but I think 8 through 10, I think definitely.
He's not playing better than Geno Smith this year. Geno Smith is going to get comeback player of the year and potentially MVP votes. That's just the reality of it. His numbers, he ranks 1 in a lot of categories. QBR, 1. Like, you, just because you haven't seen it, and it's a West Coast bias because we don't really watch
Seattle we have seen plenty of Seattle. We have absolutely seen plenty of Seattle. We have seen him. We've seen him have great – like, to say West Coast bias is ridiculous. We have seen a lot of Geno Smith this year, in fact.
Okay.
So to say that we haven't seen it, seen it. We've talked a lot about it, that it is a revelation, but to buy into it to a fact that you think he's better than Dak Prescott is a little bit bizarre. He's 32 years old.
Okay, how old is Dak Prescott? 28?
But the point is that he hadn't done it for a long block. He's just having a good year, one that is a bit of a surprise.
He didn't have an opportunity. I thought we were talking about this year. Because we're talking about tradition.
Let's get more voices. You and I keep going round and round now. Let's get other people involved in this. Let's go to Texas, talk to Dennis, who agrees with you. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hey, long-time listener, guys. Love y'all show. Love the energy. Mark, I'm a huge Cowboys fan, but I do agree with you to an extent. I mean, I feel like that playoff loss last year, I spent 30 minutes crying. Couldn't believe it, what happened in that game and how he mismanaged it. And just some of the decisions he makes from time to time are not what a top-10 quarterback does. However, I do think that McCarthy and the way he's calling plays right now and putting him in a better position to win, relying on the run game, I say we have to hold complete judgment until the end of the season to see if this new scheme that they're doing, you know, may produce Dak being a top 10 quarterback.
Be more focused on the run. Yeah. See, Dennis, I agree. And by the way, I can relate to him crying for 30 minutes after a game because I've done that many times as a Jets fan.
I mean, it's going to be important because I don't believe that they can catch Philadelphia, who's 2 games ahead of them right now. So if they can't catch Philadelphia, or if they don't catch Philadelphia, they're going to be a wild card team, and they're going to have to go on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a lot of pressure to see if he can take that show on the road and see if they get bounced in the first round again. Then what are we going to be saying? Because the team is only going to get worse, and the team is worse because they paid him that money.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. No.
The best team he could ever be on was last year.
Right. All right. But now we're getting into the salary cap implications and everything else. I mean, this is strictly just about talent. At least that's what I thought it was. But let's take a break from this conversation, and we got the calls to get back to because everybody wants to sound off on this. You will get your chance, so stay there with us. We will get to you on this Barton's quarterback conversation, which has been a lot of fun to debate and kick around throughout the morning. But we do have some NBA news to get to, some things that happened last night, and also things that happened last night that could have implications going forward. We'll get to that after I tell you about LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Creating a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs is simple, easy, and takes just minutes. Then add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Bart. That's linkedin.com/BART,
Bart.
Post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Darvin Ham has taken LeBron out of the game, and Michael, he's heading back to the locker room. That can't be good.
He's experienced some leg discomfort, and we'll know more once he gets evaluated by our doctors.
I feel good. I mean, besides the injury, didn't do anything, extraneous on the play. Just when I landed, I felt a little spasm or strain in my groin.
See, that's what happened when you get Father Time, those weak shoes, instead of giving him the new LeBron 28s.
Now, there's no doubt about what's happened there in L.A. We'll certainly get to that and more. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. And we're joined by Monica McNutt, our ESPN basketball analyst, and, of course, a great friend of the show.
She's such a show-off.
A show-off?
What do you mean?
You see her with the shoulder out because she's been doing her kettlebell work. She just want to shine because Black Panther coming out, so she want to let us know that she should have been in the star role. I see you shining.
You know what, Bart? I will accept that, my friend, because, yesterday's kettlebell workout had me on the floor, so, yes, this shoulder was coming out today.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with just letting everybody know you're putting the work in, right?
Whole thing. She got the neck out, the rotator cuff, the labrum, the lat. She got the whole damn thing out, Alan, trying to show us up.
Listen.
You ain't supposed to be in shape in the wintertime. It ain't sun. It ain't spring yet. You showing us up. We can't catch up with that.
That's hilarious.
All right, well, then let's begin with some showing out that happened yesterday before we get to the LeBron and the Lakers situation, and that was yesterday in Brooklyn, where with Jacques Vaughn now officially named the coach of the team, they're no longer going to go in the direction of Ime Udoka, and Kyrie's still away. Kevin Durant goes for a triple-double, and the Nets don't look back. I mean, they just dominated the Knicks in that game last night, Monica. Is it sort of like, they're a functional team when all the dysfunction is gone?
Listen, I've had a chance to cover them a handful of games so far this season. And just kind of talking with guys casually, like, believe it or not, breaking news, they just want a chance to hoop and compete. So I'm not surprised that things have sort of settled down in the last, I guess, five games now that Vaughn has been at the helm. Kevin Durant is infamous for, like, I mean, early in his career, and he doesn't walk around with a backpack so much anymore, but anybody that has an opinion on Kevin Durant will say, you know, you can bank on what you're going to get from him in terms of him wanting to show up and compete and play ball every day. And sort of that more laid-back sort of personality, but just let me hoop, kind of trickles down that entire team outside of Kyrie, right? And so I think last night you saw guys pulling in the same direction. You saw them excited about the guy that they're now playing with. And I think this is a little different than a first date in Jacques Vaughn because he's been with the organization, right? Like, of course, there's adversity to come just by the nature of competing in a long NBA season. But I think this is more than like a first date kind of thing where everything's good until I get to know you. So I think they're pulling in the right direction. It would not surprise me if they go on a little run here. Their next few games, I think they got like the Clippers tomorrow.
Yep.
But other than that, their next few games like are definitely winnable.
Monica, let me just follow up on something because I want to ask Monica a direct question. I'll ask both of you the question, actually. Is do the Nets even need Kyrie? This is why. When he's on the court this season, they are minus 17. With him off the court, they're plus 34. Now, those numbers were starkly different over the last couple of years. Obviously, Kyrie on the floor, they have been a better team. But this season, with all the stuff that's going on around him, and also the story from earlier this week about how with Nash call a play, he would break the play during the game. He would call another play. So just going against the coaching constantly. Would they be better off just saying, you know what, we've got enough of a team here around Kevin Durant that we're fine without him?
No, I'm not going to do that. I think everybody needs to pump their brakes a little bit. Yes. If Kyrie comes back and is committed to pulling in the same direction, of course they're a better team. Like, there's no doubt about that. Now, have we seen that yet? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm not ready to say they're better off without him because Cam Thomas has been a great story and all. But when I'm deep into the playoffs and I need to be able to trust decision-making and ability to perform in the clutch, I'm not there yet.
You know, how important is a healthy Seth Curry? Because it seems like he spreads the floor, timely shot making, and the ability to facilitate a little bit as well. How important is his health? And maybe is that part of the reason why they struggled early in the season, the fact that they didn't have the outside shooting that they thought they would have?
I think they struggled early in the season just because of disconnects internally, right? Like, yeah, I was on Island and I did get up that day and I'm like, okay, teammates quabble all the time. Steve Nash, KD, they can move past it. I think they moved past it enough, but I do think there were some real reservations about leadership there. So I'm not ready to pin early season issues just on health. I think there was health, there's leadership, there's always been the attention that's surrounding Kyrie in terms of off the court stuff. And so is Seth Curry somebody that makes a difference? Absolutely. I think he had 23 last night. And if he can create space for KD to work and defenses to have to choose between allowing Kevin Durant to get to his spot around the top of the key or Kyrie get into the paint or let him shoot a three, like, that's a tough decision. So, yes, I think if this team gets healthy, to me, health is at the top of the list in terms of what would stop them.
Monica McNutt joining us on the show. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Bart Hahn, ESPN Radio. Monica, of course, our ESPN basketball analyst. So let's get to some news from last night as well. As LeBron James, who was having a strong game despite the fact that the Lakers still stink and then still lost again, this time again to the Clippers too, by the way. You talk about the Knicks can't beat the Nets. The Lakers can't beat the Clippers. And LeBron left the game.
Nine straight.
And the LeBron James leaves the game with what seemed like, a tweak or something in a groin injury at least. They still are going to evaluate and figure out what it is, how bad it is going forward. Remember, he had a groin issue, was it 2 years ago? What just knocked him out of the rest of the season. I mean, they lose him, Monica. Would you say the season's pretty much over, right? Like, they are already a bad team. Losing him, how could they possibly survive?
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I'm just going to toss this out there. It becomes about the preservation of energy or conservation of energy at this point, right? I don't think LeBron is faking an injury, but we all know from following sports and playing sports, the non-contact ones tend to be the worst and the ones that linger.
Especially when you're almost 38 years old.
Especially at his age. But honestly, if the Lakers aren't going to trade him, he shouldn't be on the floor. Like, he just shouldn't be on the floor. The team is doing nothing. And so I would encourage him to take his time to get healthy, and hopefully Rob Pelinka and that brass can figure out a way to salvage. I don't think there's much to salvage this season, but I think you do want to put the best team possible around LeBron if he's opting to finish out his career as a Laker.
I mean, how important is you think they do that after he passed Kareem? You know, because, you know, they want him to, you know, and I'm sure he wants to get it over with as soon as possible so he can celebrate and have all that, you know, maybe shut him down after that. I don't know how long it's going to take him to get 1,000 points. I don't know how close he is now. But how important is that? And, you know, do you think LeBron would want them to shut him down? You know, because he probably won't shut himself down, but them to shut him down so that he can preserve himself for next season. Because, like you said, they're not going anywhere. They still have to get rid of that Russell Westbrook money off their books.
That's a fair question, Bart, but I think I can't remember. All the records are coming together in my brain, and I can't pull the particular one out. But he broke a record last year, right? He broke a record last year, and nobody cared because the Lakers stunk. Like, I mean, I just don't know. To me, if LeBron is going to play another 3 years or hang on until his son gets to the league, he's going to break Kareem's record. Like, in my mind, there's no pressure necessarily to do it this year. And that's not to take opportunities to hoop for granted, because we know things can happen. But, like, you're going to break this record, and it's going to be all about you, and then you're going to spin the conversation to team basketball, because that's typically who LeBron is when it comes to accomplishing things in the NBA. Like, and nobody wants to talk about your team. The whole thing is just a mess, and I'm fascinated at how the Lakers got here, whether it's Pelinka, whether you want to say it was LeBron's contribution to some of the teammates that he requested. Like, this is bad.
He is 1,076 points away from Kareem as far as tying him. So that's still obviously a long block of games to go, but something that he would be expected to accomplish this season, as long as the injury is not something serious. He did say, though, that he doesn't feel like it's the same thing as what he dealt with, and I had to correct myself. It wasn't 2 years ago, although it felt like it. It was back in 2019, you remember, that he missed all those games, 17 straight, in fact, in late December into January, when he tore the groin during that season. He said, not as bad, so hoping that it's not something that, without just some treatment, maybe a little bit of rest, won't cost him a lot of time. But as Monica said, I don't know how things change for the Lakers until they change the roster. It's just a bad roster, and LeBron is playing great. Anthony Davis is giving you stats, not really playing great, but giving you stats. But that's not a good roster, and they're going to have to do something. So it'll be interesting to see how this evolves as the season goes on. Monica, thanks so much for the time. Always good to catch up.
Always good to talk to y'all. Have a great rest of your show.
All right.
Yeah.
You got it. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We will get back to your calls, of course, on the topic of the quarterback. And if you want to get into the NBA stuff, certainly can do that as well. But we also, coming up, have an update for you on Josh Allen. Everybody needs to know, how's the elbow? We'll tell you. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. If you didn't hear it on SportsCenter, we'll tell you right now, Elena Getzenberg, who covers the Bills for us at ESPN, tweeting that Josh Allen was just kind of peeked into a little bit of the media portion of practice, but wearing a sleeve on his right arm. Remember, he's got that elbow issue that everybody's concerned about.
Keep swelling out.
Was not in a practice jersey. was not participating in anything that was part of the media session, which means the reporters can watch that part of practice, wasn't participating at all. That would be this for the second straight day. So feeling is the closer we get to it. Barton, you said Thursday, right? Thursday's a pretty important day, right?
Yeah, that's the situation. When you jump in there, you really get into 2 minutes short yardage goal line. You work all your situational stuff.
Yep.
You know, it's the most physical day out of the year. You might put on some pads a little bit as well to kind of set the pads a little bit. Just be, because Wednesday is like a get the soreness out stuff in today's football.
Mm-hmm.
And today is kind of like set your pads. Let's get ready for short yardage, get some contact.
All right. Well, they play the Vikings on Sunday, and it's going to be a tough game. You know, you expect it to be coming off the loss to the Jets and that injury as well. Some concerns where the Bills are right now. So they aren't announcing anything officially. They'll probably wait on it, but. The sleeve tells you, though, right, Bart? The sleeve kind of suggests that this is it's simply to keep swelling down, right? Usually compression sleeves are built for that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, well, they originally thought there was some UCL damage and maybe some nerve damage as well from that hit that he took. So losing him would certainly change some things. And remember,
Tennessee.
The Jets are in a bye week, and they're a half game back of the Bills.
Yeah, buddy.
So certainly
let's go Vikings.
That story. Yeah, we're
Solar
all Vikings fans.
Kurt.
We are all Viking fans.
Solar Kurt.
And solar-powered Kirk Cousins. 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's continue with the call, shall we, Bart? As everybody wants to get into the quarterback conversation that you've been having throughout the show that started on Get Up with Bart believes that Dak Prescott is not a top 10 quarterback in the league. And a lot of people disagree, but some have actually agreed. We go to St. Louis and talk to Christian. Hey, Christian.
What's up, guys? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Man, it's hard to take Bart serious when it comes to talking about the Dallas Cowboys.
How?
Any window that he jumps in, every window. Who's a threat to beat the Eagles? The 49ers. Who should OBJ go to? The 49ers. Anything but Dallas Cowboys. Ever since Michael Parsons was drafted, everything, he had Dak Prescott 15th. Like next to Jameis Winston earlier this summer.
And that was true. And that was true.
Man, get the mock Jets-tivity. Did Jerry say he's going to sign you and didn't sign you or something? What's going on, man?
Guess what? The only team I never lost to was the Dallas Cowboys.
How many times you play them?
Like six.
Really?
Yeah. Kick that ass every time. Because they were such Hollywood boys. They thought they'd earned something because that's what people did in the 90s. Like, man, Nate Newton ain't out here, dog.
That's
Larry Allen ain't out here, dog. Come get his ass kicking. You don't know what y'all thinking.
John's in Arizona. What's up, John?
Not much. Listen to you guys every morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm in agreement with Bart on this one. I'm an Eagles fan, so I'm a little biased. I'm not going to lie. But he's only played in six games. And he in week one against Tampa, they looked awful. They were the only team not to score a touchdown. That's got to be on the quarterback. And, you know, if you're going by just this season, he doesn't have enough he doesn't have the stats to back up being top 10 yet because he doesn't have the games played. So, I mean, that's my thing is you can't be the only team to not score a touchdown week one against Tampa, who wasn't what they were, and be in the top 10. Plus, he only played in six games. He missed a chunk, and Cooper Rush played great in those games.
My point exactly.
Well, the running game was great. The defense was great. Cooper Rush was good enough. Like, that's all he had to be.
It's not an indictment to say that he's not, like, top 10. You still can be a good quarterback in this league without being top 10.
No, I understand it. I understand what you're saying. I get it, but it's just, like, it's hard to make – it's hard to just feel like when you're talking about some of the best quarterbacks in the league that he is not among the conversation.
What's wrong with being Julius Randle? He was most improved a couple years ago.
Yeah, and how's he looking right now? Doug is in Ohio. What's up, Doug?
Hello?
Hello.
What's up, Doug?
Yeah, how you doing?
All right.
Hey, yeah. Bart, you could tell by the statement that you just made about beating Dallas that you're just kind of hating.
No,
but if you're talking about this
I
year,
hate him.
He hasn't played. You what?
No, that was a drop.
Just go ahead.
No, it's a drop.
No, but listen, if you're talking about this year, he played three games. Okay, he played a bad game.
I'm not talking about this year.
The caller before that says if he didn't score no points, the first week, you ain't nothing. You know, I remember Josh Allen scored 6 points on Jacksonville last year. Tom Brady ain't scoring no points right now. Aaron Rodgers ain't scoring no points right now. So to say because you had a bad game, that's dumb. Now, since he's been back, he's completed like 75% of his passes. In every statistical category since he's been in the league, if you go through completion percentage, he's going to be top five. If you go in the least interceptions, he's going to be top five. What do you want him to do to make him to be a good quarterback? Because
you asked me a question, right?
What more do you want from me?
So you said, what do I want him to do? I want him to beat another quarterback on a good team when it counts. That's it. Simple. When you play Jimmy G, you're supposed to be the better quarterback. Your team was good last year with Amari Cooper, and you had, you know, a great defense last year. You had Michael Parsons, phenom last year. You had CeeDee Lamb last year. You still had Pollard. You had a good offensive line, and you fell short. Every time you have to beat somebody that's your equal or maybe better than you, you fall short. And that's what I'm saying. When he goes against, of course you can pad, you know, stats, and you can pad stuff when you play bad opponents. But when you play the other players that we think are elite, what end do you come up on? Last year when they had to play Green Bay, what happened to him? He never comes up big when they go against other players or other quarterbacks that I have in that top 10 list. That's what I'm saying. What's his record against those guys? Don't give me his record and his stats against people that aren't elite and teams that aren't elite. I mean, I don't take anything that the NFC East is doing this year seriously because they're playing the weakest schedule in all of football.
Okay. But, you know, when you're saying what's their record against, you know, other elite quarterbacks, there's a lot of elite quarterbacks in the league that you have ahead of him that also have losing records against elite quarterbacks.
I mean, like
we could go through.
Jackson?
Well, I could go through. I'll tell you what. I'll go through it tonight, and I'll have it ready for tomorrow. It's not something I can do in 2 minutes. But I'm looking at names of players who haven't exactly done a ton of winning.
But you take them ahead. Give me that playoff record. Everybody I named won in the playoffs.
Now you're again. Once again, you are Tennessee. You took the goalposts out of the stadium, and you're throwing them in the river. You just continue to move them.
Every person I land in one playoff game.
ESPN 888-729-3776. Every person ahead of him.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go.
We have more calls coming up. Also, by the way, this take by Bart is not the only thing that got people mad this morning. Something else came up. They got somebody so mad on Get Up, he walked off the set. You'll hear it next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Get to your calls momentarily. Bart's getting people mad today, but that's what he's paid to do. He's got the takes, and some people agree, and some people disagree, and some people just literally walk off the set. So the quarterback debate that went on this morning, where you essentially were saying that Jalen Hurts has passed Dak Prescott, nobody really went crazy on that one.
Yeah.
You know, you got kind of that reaction. But then when you said that Dak Prescott's not even a top 10 quarterback right now, you got Greeny to say,
oh, get out of here.
Like, so you got him mad. But that wasn't even enough. There was more to this, apparently. So we move on now to more quarterback conversations that got people getting up and walking off the set on Get Up this morning. And it started with a very simple question that it was involving, if you're the Packers, do you bench Aaron Rodgers?
D-Wood, if I were to argue, it's not about keeping him fresh, but it's about finding out what you have in the young quarterback or maybe letting him audition so that his trade value goes up and they should consider benching Aaron Rodgers. Why do you look so mad? What is going on?
Is he leaving?
Why is D-Wood walking? D-Wood!
He doesn't want to talk about it.
Have we upset you that much with this? What is it?
Greeny, what the hell are you talking about here? What are we talking about? We're talking about benching Aaron Rodgers for Jordan Love?
Right. I mean,
how much bread we talking about with Aaron Rodgers?
50.
Like, we talking like 50. Like quarter billion type stuff with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And you want to bench him?
Yeah.
50. You want to bench Aaron Rodgers so you can find out what we have in Jordan Love?
Yeah, yes.
Like,
you gave me
Jordan Love. What do we expect to find out about Jordan Love?
Bar, what was in the CMOS this morning on that show, man? Man, everybody was mad. Everybody had these crazy takes about this. Now, what tribe were you on the idea of should the Packers just say, let's take a look at Jordan Love at this point, this season's barbecue chicken?
No, I said Greeny was set tripping too. I mean, I gave this dude $50 million. You're going to come out here and take this ass kicking with all of us. You ain't about to sit up here. You ain't about to be sitting over here eating sunflower seeds, enjoying the daylight, not getting no scar tissue, not getting beat up, not getting slammed to the ground. We got to come out here and take this ass kicking. We in this together, boat. Get on in this boat. Come on in. Come on in. The water just fine.
So he needs to play this out just because you took this money. You better be playing this thing to the end.
You made this mess.
Yeah.
You're the one that didn't make a decision, got Devontae Adams out of here. And for everybody like, oh, we want to see what Jordan Love got? Nah, bro. That, guess what? Jordan Love inherited the same exact position that Aaron Rodgers inherited. He's his Brett Favre. And they didn't need to put Aaron Rodgers out there to know that he was good enough to replace Brett Favre. So they already know what Jordan Love is. They see this man every day in practice. They know he ain't about that action, boss. They know they messed up on that. That's why they gave Aaron Rodgers a 3-year deal. And the 3-year deal means that they can't even get rid of him because mm-hmm. even if they cut him, it's a $91 million salary cap hit. So he's there for another year. So I don't care what Jordan Love can do right now. Like, Jordan Love going to sit on his bench. And, like, hopefully he can figure something out in the preseason. And we can maybe try and make him a Jimmy G. You're going to take a first-round draft pick and be able to get a fourth-round compensation for it. That's about it. But we know what he is. So if you don't know what he is by year 4 or year 3, you ain't going. You already know.
So, Bart, because we have actually kicked around the idea of trading Aaron Rodgers maybe in the offseason, but you're now, after looking deeper into his contract and the cap situation, you're saying they can't even really do that.
No, they can trade him. But if I trade him, Jordan Love ain't my quarterback. Like, he could be my Drew Lock. If you look at what Russell Wilson got, the Russell Wilson picks turned into a starting left tackle that's playing at a high level, mm-hmm. a starting right tackle playing at a high level, Kenneth Walker, who could be offensive rookie of the year, and Wooten, who could be defensive player of the year, and, oh yeah, Boye Mafe, pass rusher from Minnesota. And they still got another first-round draft pick, another second-round draft pick from Denver that's going to be pretty high. So if I'm looking at that, I'm saying, hey, maybe I can turn Aaron Rodgers. And remember, he also turned into Noah Fant, a great tight end that they use. Mm-hmm. And also the D-tackle that was highly rated. I forget his name, but I'll get it for you. So that's 8 players in one draft for one person.
That's how you can turn things around. It's how you can stay competitive. Now,
listen, we talk about the Jamal Adams gift that keeps on giving.
Jamal Adams helped rebuild the Jets. I mean, that's obvious.
Jamal Adams and Sam Darnold. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, they helped rebuild the Jets.
We like Breece Hall a lot.
Yeah, they helped rebuild the Jets. There's no question about that. Along with, of course, Joe Douglas, who's done a fantastic job. But so Jordan Love is just turned 24 years old. He's got 1 year. This is his third year. He's got 1 year left on his deal.
No, two, because they can pick up his fifth year.
If they want to do that, but it's still, he's dirt cheap. But you're saying like he's not the future.
What I'm saying is if I trade Aaron Rodgers, I'm assuming I'm gonna get a high pick. I'm gonna take one of these guys that I can start the clock all over with, right? And I'd rather get somebody that I'm going to have under contract for the next 5 years, not somebody that I have to pay in two.
He's been there. How frustrating must it be for him? They don't know what he is. They can't possibly know what he is. We saw a little bit of preseason, and you didn't know if you liked it or didn't like it. But like, you talk about a young player that is not really getting any kind of development.
Yeah, between a pimp and a hard place.
Oh, man, it is definitely him. But that's a tough situation. How about this, though? Can Rodgers and the Packers beat the Cowboys? That and more next.
Bart and Han.